Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be with you here this morning. I have a topical study this morning, and that's something I really quite often don't do. So we have a lot of verses, a lot of scripture, not really a lot of me talking, so I guess that's good. But we're going to talk about what the Bible says about slander. And I tell you what, you start looking at this lesson, this amazes me. It really does. That the Bible was written and compiled thousands of years ago, it is unbelievably relevant even today. And so when we start talking about slander and talking bad about people, you would think that I had written this lesson based off of recent city politics. Or maybe you would think I had written this lesson based off of recent national politics. But I didn't. But we have a problem with slander in our country. We have a problem with speaking evil. And I'm afraid it's only getting worse. Because we have forums and we have mediums such as Facebook and internet comments where people can say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, and it doesn't matter if it's truthful or not. People feel that they have the right to demean, to say horrible, rude, cruel things. And they feel that that is their right. And what a shame that is. I'm here to tell you the Bible has a lot to say about slander and talking evil about people. Now, I have to apologize to Paul. He kind of jokingly, for services, mentioned, I think he thought this was going to be a how-to lesson, how to slander people. That's not the case. The Bible is against slander. I'm not going to give you some new ways to talk evil about folks. I want you to know what the Bible has to say about slander. We live in a world that is hateful. We live in a world that is cruel. We live in a world that has very limited social boundaries. We think we can do whatever we want to do, and we can talk to people however we want to talk to them, and there's absolutely no consequences for the words that we speak. At least that's what we think. There will be consequences for what we say, and we need to think about every word that comes out of our mouth. For an introduction, I found this in Proverbs 16 and 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. I think that explains the idea of slander. So for a little while this morning, we're going to talk about a topic, what saith the scriptures about slander? And I can't think of a more relevant topic for what we live in today than the topic of slander. Before we go further though, let's go to God in word of prayer. I wanted to share something with you that I've seen in a couple different mediums. One was on Judy's Facebook page. I thought this was pretty good. She had a picture up, and it said, anything that we say ought to pass through three gates. And had on it, the first gate was the gate of truth. Is what we're going to say true? Because if it's not true, we don't need to say it at all. We don't have the right to spread gossip, spread rumors, to speak lies. Is it true? The second gate, it said, was it necessary? Is what we're saying necessary? And if we don't, then don't say it. If it's not necessary, then just keep your mouth shut. That's what my mom always told me. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. If it's not true, it's not necessary, leave it alone. And then finally she said, is it kind? I thought that was pretty good. The three gates, that every word that comes from our mouth ought to pass through the gate of true, necessary, and kind. And then I was in a junior high the other day, and you don't realize how much junior highs have to talk about this kind of stuff. Social media and texting, and they've even got a new word called cyberbullying. It is amazing that we've got, you know, 7-year-old kids running around with cell phones, and it's terrible. Some of these apps that they have, the way that they're talking, and there's been kids that have been forced, that have been bullied out of classes, have been bullied out of schools. There's even some cases kids have been pushed to the point of suicide. Because kids are so hateful, and they can do it all by phone. Now, you don't even have to go up and bully someone. You can do it by phone. And they've even got apps now that you can send horrible, crude messages and pictures, and then it vanishes after 8 seconds. The craziest thing you've ever heard of. Well, in the school I saw, they added a couple. Not only is it true, they said, is it helpful? Because if it's not helpful, there's no reason saying it. And added one more, is it informative? And so I'm going to give you the same admonition that we give junior high kids. If you can kind of see the acronym here, they say before you post something, you need to think. Think before you post. Think before you say. True, helpful, informative, necessary, kind. So I'm going to come over here and just write this to the side. We'll refer back to this later. Think before you speak. Think before you post. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it informative? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I thought that was a pretty good way of saying it. So I took that from a Facebook post, which I'm going to do a lot of negative talk about today. That was one that was good. Think. Think before you speak. So what's the definition of slander? Well, slander is saying something that is false. It's not true. About a person in order to try to damage their reputation. That's what slander technically is. Now, I want to be careful here because I think the Bible may have a little bit different definition than what we have in legal terms. We have in our legal term a broad topic. It's called defamation. And you can prove what is called defamation of character. And under the umbrella of defamation are two words. Slander is considered the spoken word. And libel is considered written word. So when we talk about somebody slandering us on Facebook, that's really not proper legal term. It's libel because it's written. Anything that's written is considered libel. Spoken word is considered slander. I want to talk about the biblical definition. They didn't separate it into slander and libel. The Bible talks about evil speaking. And it includes everything. The Bible also uses words like backbite, to deceive, to evil speak. So we're going to talk about it in a very broad term. We're not going to get specific and worry about whether or not something technically, legally is or is not slander. You know, there's people that get on the Facebook or on some type of social media site, and they may say something like this. Well, I heard that John Smith beats his wife. And they'll say, well, I didn't slander anybody because I just said I heard it. I didn't say it myself. I just said I heard it. Now, folks, that's slander. If it's not true, it's slander. If it's led to be misleading, if it is meant to have a negative impact on somebody else, that is slander. Think. Think. Is it helpful? Is it informative? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It doesn't matter how you word it. Or some people will say they'll try to get away with it by turning it into an opinion. And this seems to be something that is really being dealt with in legal situations all over the country. Well, I think that John Smith beats his wife. See, they don't state it as a fact. I just state it as an opinion. Therefore, I can't be held accountable for being libel or slander. Nay, nay. That is being seen, that is being prosecuted as libel and slander. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you post. Now, some of y'all may be thinking, well, what's the big difference? Not that important. I can say whatever I want to. I'm protected by the First Amendment rights. And you are, that's true. As citizens of this country, we do have First Amendment rights, that's true. And you might be thinking, well, who cares if I get out and I make a post about how sorry and stupid Donald Trump is? Or maybe I make a post about how pathetic and how racist Barack Obama is. Well, what difference does it make? I can get on, I can say anything I want to. Anytime the Cowboys lose, I can get on sites and I can tell about how stupid Jason Garrett, the coach, is and how horrible Jerry Jones is, and I can say anything I want to say. But I want you to be careful of that. Because I want you to understand how serious of a matter this is. To speak out against people with slander. To say things that don't have truth. To try to hurt people's influence and reputation. I want you to think about it. When you're standing up at the game, screaming at the umpire or screaming at the referee and telling them how sorry and how they're cheaters, I want you to think about this. Because this is a serious matter. The New Testament word is translated, you ready for this? The word slander is translated from the following Greek word, diabolos. Do you know that? Diablo, the devil. That's where the word slander comes from. It is the same root word as the devil. You put the word the in front of it,
It is the slanderer, the accuser, the defamer, the devil. This is serious. Slander is not of the Lord. Slander is of the devil. And so when we go around talking bad about people and we say things that are inappropriate and we say things that are false, you better be careful. Now, I'm not saying we're, as Christians, we have to be a punching bag. And I'm not saying as Christians that we have to allow when people come against us, we have to sit there and take everything. But I am saying we need to think. If I hire someone to come paint my house, and they paint half of it, and I come back and I say, what about the other half? And the guy says, well, I'm done. I'm not painting anymore. If I go down to the hardware store and say, well, A1 painting services, I wouldn't use them. They only painted half of my house. That's not slander. The defense of any slanderous charge is true. But even so, we better be careful. We don't need to go around saying things that are not true, that are not helpful, that are not informative, that are not necessary, and are not kind. Be careful what you say. Be careful what we post. Be careful how we conduct ourselves. Because when we cross over into the realm of slander, God is not happy with us. Never has been. And that's what we're going to show this morning. So for an outline for the Scripture, we're going to talk about what say the Scriptures. There are hundreds of verses I could have used. I pared it down greatly. The Bible throughout, Old Testament to New, talks about false accusations and saying things that are wrong. We're going to talk about what happens if we are slandered personally. I've got something here for you. 10 times to just be quiet. It's the 3rd time that we need to just sit down and shut up and not talk. That's important. And finally, we'll look at our conclusion, what I've called the divided congregation. So what say the Scriptures about slander? Well, the Bible's filled with warnings against slander. And this is something that God will not allow for His children. So we're going to have several here. I've probably got about 10 or so that I wanted to kind of go through. Listen to the words of the Scriptures. First of all, Exodus 20 and 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That is one of the 10 commandments. That was one of the basic tenets of the law of Moses. Do not lie against your neighbor. Do not say things that are false. And that was one of the foundations of the entire law of Moses, and it has been carried forward through God's word from the beginning. Do not lie. Tell the truth. Do not speak out falsely against your neighbor. The Lord said this, Matthew 12 and 36, but I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So don't think, well, I can say whatever I want. I'm protected by First Amendment's right. That may be true here upon this earth. But we are going to give an account of every word that we say. And so we're going to have to explain why we talked evil about somebody, why we posted such negative things, why we started these horrible rumors. We're going to be responsible for giving an account of the words that we speak. Think before we speak. Think before we post. Psalm 101 and 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. I cannot stand anonymous letters. I cannot stand anonymous posts. Drives me insane. If you want to say something, say it and write your name to it and write your address and your phone number, and I have no problem. But when you start getting these anonymous posts, I almost wish I could talk to these Facebook people. Wouldn't it be nice if there was maybe like a color coding system for comments? Because you've got some people out there that actually know what they're talking about. And they have understanding and they've studied the issues. Maybe we could make all of their comments green. And then we have some people that maybe have a little bit of knowledge, but not much. Maybe we can make their comments yellow. And then we've got people that have absolutely no idea what they're talking about, but yet they are the loudest and the rudest. Maybe we can make their comments red so we can know to ignore them. I don't know. Might be a good system. Because we have so many people there that are so quick, they say whatever they want to say,
and they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. I will never forget walking up from the stands of a high school football game and have the parents yelling at the coaches because we were losing. And his comment was, why don't you call the plays that work? I mean, well, it's a little more complicated than that. I mean, we all want every play to work. It's a little more complicated. But you have people that have no idea what they're talking about. And unfortunately, they're usually the loudest. Let me tell you, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, and it may be under a cute little screen name that nobody knows, the Lord knows. And the Lord's going to catch it for it. Psalms 10 and 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. I don't want the Lord to consider me a fool. And so keep in mind, if you're passing along the information of others, we're just as guilty. But there's a game that's going on in mainstream media nowadays. It's terrible. There are fake news sites. You've probably heard about this if you keep up with the National. There are sites. That's their game. They make up fake news, and they try to get the mainstream media to report on it and use it as sources. It's a game for people. Be careful what you post. Be careful what you forward. Be careful what you like. Be careful what you quote, because what you're quoting may not be the truth. And you are doing nothing but spreading slander. And the Bible here says that that person is a fool. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Speaking to the church in general, he says, remind them to be subject to rules and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Speak evil of no man. As I said, that doesn't mean that if someone does us wrong, that we don't have the ability to question, or that we don't have the ability to ask, or the ability to get repercussions. But it says, don't speak evil. There's a difference. When we get to the realm of being evil, we have problems. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Get rid of it. As Christians, we are to get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. And we know there's several little lists in the Bible. And we may call them the works of the flesh. Remember, this is of the devil. Slander is of the devil. Get away from it. And don't be tempted to say this. This floors me. Mark 7, verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defies a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Listen to the list, the category of sins that Jesus uses. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. When we speak deceit, it is equated with murder. Think about that. When we speak evil things, when we speak deceit, when we speak evil against someone else in a situation where it is not true, deceit is on the par with adultery, fornication, murder, theft. We don't like to think of it. We like to think of, hey, I can say whatever I want to say. No, not in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be covetous, or be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I believe we heard a lesson one time called the Peter Principle. That's what it's talking about. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Do not speak deceit. This concept is found throughout the Bible. Let me tell you, the next time that you see slander, you feel as though you've been slandered, I want you to look at Psalm 109. You might call this the slander chapter. King David here is tired of being slandered.
So I did not put the verses up here. So if you want to turn to Psalm 109, we won't read the whole psalm. But this is a man who understood what slander was like, people speaking out and speaking evil against him. Psalm 109, he says, "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." Isn't that the way it feels when people come against you? No matter what you do, they turn it into evil. What's interesting though, because if you skip down a few verses now, it says in verse 8, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." That sound familiar? Does that passage sound familiar? Talking about here these people that are false accusers. It says, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." That ought to sound pretty familiar, because that's what we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 20. As it's written in the book of Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, let another take his office." So who's the greatest slanderer of them all? Well, in reference to that, that's Judas Iscariot. I don't want to be considered to have anything to do with Judas Iscariot. And he's the great notorious slanderer. And so that passage was used in reference to describe Judas. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you post. The scriptures are filled with admonitions to not speak evil against other people. Number two. But what if we're slandered? Well, as Christians, it's pretty likely that we're going to be slandered. Jesus told us to expect it, that people are going to speak evil. They're going to speak falsely. They spoke falsely against him. They're going to speak falsely against us. So how are we to respond when we are slandered? Well, the Bible gives us some interesting advice too. 1 Corinthians 4 and 13, he says, "And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat." And that word entreat could also be translated encourage. So the Apostle Paul says, when we were being, if we're reviled, we find a way to bless. When we're being persecuted, we endure. And when people slander us, we're supposed to try to find a way to encourage. It's tough to tell you. It's hard to do, isn't it? A couple other passages kind of talk the same idea. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16. We always read 1 Peter 3 and 15, but keep going, and we'll talk about slander as well. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We quote that verse a lot. We keep going. "Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." One more verse and then we'll tie together. 1 Peter 2 and 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, be your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So the Bible kind of has a different way of looking at it. It says that when we are defamed, we need to live such lives that when people speak against us as evildoers, when people slander us with lies, it ought to be just ridiculous to people that hear it. Because we live lives that are so good, that are so godly, that if someone comes up and says something, "What did you hear about old brother so-and-so? I heard he beats his wife, and I heard that he's a thief, and I heard that you can't trust him around little kids." It ought to be just so ridiculous and absurd that people say, do you even know him? Are we even talking about the same person? That's how we are to handle slander. We are to live lives that are so pure and so good and so righteous that if someone does say something bad about us that's false, the person that hears it ought to say to themselves, "He's got to know what he's talking about." Now the problem is, what happens if we kind of live semi-shady lives? And then someone says something negative or false about us, people might say, "Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe that is the case." So remember that. We need to live good, godly lives
stay away from evil. Stay away from bad situations, bad people, bad things. And when people do slander us, it'll be brushed off as the ramblings of a crazy person. Because they obviously don't know who they're talking about.
Number three.
10 times to just be quiet. I saw this in part, this idea on another Facebook post. And I thought it was pretty good. So I kind of reworked it. I copied them. So if you want a copy of these 10, I've got them. You can. My suggestion would be tape it wherever you need it. If that means that's your refrigerator, tape it on your refrigerator. If that means you tape it on your computer so you're not tempted to post something you shouldn't, I'm probably going to tape it when I walk into the gym so I'm not tempted to holler and scream at refs. Wherever you need it, take one of these and tape it and look at it. 10 times we just need to be quiet. Number one. We need to be quiet, when we're angry. James 1, verses 19 through 20. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When you're mad, be quiet. Be slow to speak. That gets people in trouble more than anything else, I suppose. They speak when they're angry. If you're mad, take a deep breath.
Number two, 10 times to just be quiet. Oops. When we do not have all the facts.
It is easy to complain about stuff when we don't have the whole story. Proverbs 18 and 13, this is a great line. It says, he who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. When we make up our mind before we've heard both sides, it says it's shame and folly. So don't speak unless you have all the facts. There are two sides to every coin. There are two ways to look at every problem. In fact, I've even heard it said that there's three ways to look at any problem. There's the perspective of person A, there's the perspective of person B, and then there's the truth. It's somewhere in the middle. Do not make up your mind because of something that you hear, only having part of the information.
Number three, when we have not verified the story,
don't trust anyone. Don't trust a fake news site. Don't trust, I heard it from this guy, who heard it from this guy, who heard it from my cousin, who heard it from this guy. Don't do that. If you're going to say something, if we're going to post something, make sure we verify the story.
Deuteronomy 17, this is an interesting part.
Verse 2, it says, if there is found among you within any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, a man or woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God, in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded you, and it is told you, and you hear of it, now listen to this, then you shall inquire diligently. Because if somebody comes up and says, so-and-so did something evil. So-and-so did something wrong. It says it is a responsibility to inquire diligently. Get the facts. Don't come out and start saying things without having verified the story. Then it was the case, if something needed to be put to death, it said it had to take the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. It couldn't just be one. There had to be verification of the story.
I think that's a good principle. Number four, 10 times to just be quiet.
If it's none of our business, don't be a busybody. Don't get yourself in your nose where it doesn't belong. Proverbs 14 and 10 says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. If it doesn't have anything to do with this, be quiet.
Number five, when we are tempted to joke about sin.
Proverbs 14 and 9 says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright, there is favor. If there's something coming along that we think we're going to laugh about something that's not right, you're better off just being quiet.
Number six, when we are tempted to make light of holy things.
That's important. If we think we're going to say something that is not appropriate, Ecclesiastes 5 and 2 says, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few.
We need to be careful what we say.
And if it's something that's going to make light of the church, if it's something that's going to bring reproach upon the church, be quiet and don't say anything. Number 7, when we feel overly critical. If you've had everything you can take and you've had it up to here, and as the expression goes, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you've had it, then you better be quiet. You better just turn and walk away. James 3 and 8 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness or the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." So if you've had it, and you feel like you just can't take it anymore, and you're going to be critical, you better be quiet. Because we don't want our mouth to bless God and curse men. Number 8, if we are not under control. And I'm not saying just being angry, but when we lose our control and our respect, we need to be quiet. Proverbs 25 and 28, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." If we feel like we've lost our relationships, we've lost control, be quiet. We went to a ball game the other night up in Midland. The Wall girls played a basketball game. There were a couple of teenage girls sitting in close to us. They weren't from Wall. I don't know where they were from. You talk about some of the rudest, most disrespectful girls. 12, 13-year-old girls sitting there screaming and hollering at that referee. It's not right. They lost control. 12 and 13-year-old girls are never to talk to an adult like that. They have no idea what they're talking about. They had lost control. You know what they should have done? They should have been quiet. Watch the game. Be quiet. Number 9. I like this one. If we have already said it enough. If you've said it, be quiet. Proverbs 19 and 13, the verse I used right here, it gives a pretty good image. I'm not going to trouble for this one. It says, "A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping." And so it's the image of the nagging wife. So I hope I don't get in trouble for that one. But it's a continual dripping. It's been said over and over and over and over and over. It may be true, but it gets to the point, it's not helpful. It's no longer informative. It is certainly not necessary, and it's probably not kind. Be quiet. I was amazed, and I'm not political at all. I was amazed after 8 years of Obama's presidency, people would still, the last month of his presidency, bring up whether or not he was an American citizen in his birth certificate. It's the same argument day after day after day after day after day. Be quiet. Sometimes you don't get your way. Let it go. But when we keep talking, we turn it into nagging, and nagging is not acceptable. And finally, number 10, you realize there's a time to listen. If there's a time to listen, then be quiet. Ecclesiastes 3 and 7, it says, a time to sow, and a time to reap, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. There is a time to be quiet. And if that's the time, then be quiet. So in conclusion, I want to tell you a story about a divided congregation I heard before. Because you know what? This doesn't just happen in the world. How many disputes do you think have been caused by people speaking slander? People speaking out of turn, just in the world? People saying things without having full information? How many times do you think disputes have been made worse because of it? And I'll take it one step further. How many disputes in the church do you think have been made worse by brethren speaking slander? Speaking evil of other people when they shouldn't have, even in the Lord's church. I heard a story about a congregation one time that was going through some difficulties. It had been a split, trying to get the congregation back together. And the admonition was given. Both sides, before anything needs to happen, need to study Ephesians chapter 4. And before anything is said, study Ephesians chapter 4, and then let's come back and talk. So these verses in particular, verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." If only brethren in the church would embrace these kind of ideas, how many problems could be solved?
verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If only, brethren, could embrace this. How many disputes could be solved quickly? But instead, we have a tendency to fall into the temptation to do the work of the devil. We have a tendency to fall into evil speaking and slander. It's human nature. We don't get our way, so we try to break down the person that's against us. And we try to make them look. We try to make ourselves look bigger by making them look smaller. And we talk down to them, and well, did you hear what he said? And we say it with hatred, and we say it with malice. And all of a sudden, you get people that can't get along. How much better, how much simpler would problems be if we would remember these verses? So earmark Ephesians chapter 4. And let us never have that problem here where people speak evil and hatred one towards another. How many problems could be solved? Conclusion. If we could only learn to control the things we say when we're upset. How much different of a world this would be if we did not speak with hatred and slander. Number two, there are times that we need to be quiet. And that is an important lesson to learn. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be quiet. And finally, slander is never to be known among the children of God. The lesson is yours for this morning.